listening to RadioVolta.org, a project of the Philadelphia Independent Media Center. If you have AOL Instant Messenger, you can instant message us to Volta Radio.
This song don't need violence for backup.
Reverend Bookburn, he will be going on in a minute or two. The Reverend is in, starting in about a minute and a half. Tapers, relay broadcasters, anybody who gives a fuck. Mic 1 is working. Mic 2, I think, is working. Testicle 1, 2. Testes 1, 2. And mic 3 is working. This big penis one is working. Thank you.
No one else understands a thing I do. I'm hoping you decide to stay. It's so
Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Martha Stewart's Etiquette Guide for Wiping Floors with Your Pastor's Ass. And this is going to be a very special show tonight. We have Martha Stewart and some weird guy who I think is her attorney here at Beautiful Radio Volta. And so we'll be speaking with them later, and a lot more to cover in addition to the parts where we have Martha Stewart on as a live guest. And we have some great tunes for you. As many of you know by now, Bernie Mac and Isaac Hayes died, and we have a song by one of them that we're going to start off with. And if you tuned in early, the band in the background is Mad River, whose show song tonight is from this phenomenal CD that is like their two albums from the 60s. So it's a CD called Two Classic Albums from Mad River. Mad River was recording stuff in the 60s that was like the very origin of what later became, you know, overplayed dime a dozen 70s rock or prog rock or progressive rock or classic rock or whatever you want to call it. And and even though that genre has been stale for a few decades, it's these guys were innovative creators of it, and we kind of rediscovered them in a funny way. So in our process of helping Pastor Whoremaster heal from his psycho borderline ex-girlfriend, we found the song by Mad River, which you're going to hear after our opener. And mindful of this band's place in history, so it was funny how we rediscovered them and revived their CD, but then we've been kind of digging it all week in anticipation of tonight's show. So that will be coming up after the opening song. The opening song is done by Isaac Hayes, and it's not Shaft, but it's not about his shaft. Actually, it's about his balls. This is Isaac Hayes as the chef on South Park, not the movie, but the television shows. So this is Isaac Hayes as the chef from Chef Aid from South Park doing his classic. And this will be our honor and tribute and memorial to him. This is the chef as Isaac Hayes doing chocolate salty balls. P.S. I love you.
Two tablespoons of cinnamon and two or three egg whites, a half a stick of butter melted. Stick it all in a bowl, baby, stir it with a wooden spoon. Mix in a cup of flour, you'll be in heaven soon. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick-me-up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Ooh, suck on my chocolate salted balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of vitamins and good for you. So suck on my balls. Quarter a cup of unsweetened chocolate and a half a cup of brandy. Then throw in a bag or two of sugar and just a pinch of vanilla. Grease up the cookie sheet, 'cause I hate when my balls stick. Then preheat the oven to 350. and give the spoon a lick. Say, everybody, have you seen my balls? They're big and salty and brown. If you ever need a quick pick me up, just stick my balls in your mouth. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. Put them in your mouth and suck them. Suck on my chocolate salted balls. They're packed full of goodness, high in fiber. Suck on my balls. Hey, wait a minute. What's that smell? It smells like something burning. Well, that don't confront me none. As long as I get my rent paid on Friday. Baby, you better get back in the kitchen. Cause I got a sneaking suspicion. Oh man, baby. Baby, you just burned my balls. My balls on fire. My balls burning. My balls on fire. Here's a talented group of youngsters that call themselves Rancid.
California sun has sunk behind. Solitude and all the men she drives insane when they leave.
with you. Honey, that's not what I want from you. But what am I to do?
I love you. Now I got you rich kids. the bar is fair, and you can have that body.
Services for women with Medicaid, and I love sticking my hairy chest and gold chains in patients' faces. And when I'm not busy doing that, I like to play tracks from this next band, one of my favorites, called Rambo.
Yeah.
come. The Reverend is in.
This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend is In. It's on live Sunday nights at RadioVolta.org and archived at Radio4All.net. And updates, details, links, goodies, and playlists always at ReverendBookburn.com. The Reverend is available for weddings of couples or groups of any orientation or lifestyle, including those from the transgendered or kink communities, outside or across the street from Catholic, fundamentalist, or any other Taliban-modeled theocratic church. To write to the Reverend for feedback to already done shows, input to forthcoming themed shows, or to send cartoons or music videos, requests for exorcisms or reverse exorcisms, or any reason except sending spam, unless it's the hilarious Jesus spam that continues to roll in to this day, write to RevBookburn at sjcdc.org. Happy 420, everybody. And please remember that we are trying to be responsible for at least 10,000 more sales of AKA Tommy Chung, because that was the number of DVDs seized, in other words, stolen by the Gestapo people in the Drug Enforcement Agency. Hello to Jello Biafra and all of the folks at AlternativeTentacles.com. Please remember that the boycott of the corporate scab version of the dead Kennedys remains. And hello to Dr. Susan Block, legendary sexologist and sex-positive alternative to Dr. Laura. And you can check out her blogs at drsusanblock.com/blog. A big thank you to Pastor Rex Cat, Murgatroyd Productions, Mr. Scott, Philadelphia Independent Media Center, Lava Zone, Radio 4 All, Baby Jesus Butt Plug, Hippie John, Mr. Z, and of course our in-house, whatever they do, Pastor Whoremaster, and John the Craptus. This is a pioneering, diverse presentation to push independent media to its utmost possibilities. Like George W. Numbnuts, war criminal, Enron Ho, corporate stooge, Taliban wannabe, fetal worshipping, piss poor impersonator of Forrest Gump, Bush, God speaks through me.
It's the name of the all.
That was a reminder from the lower power to not forget to put on a show for the spies. It's time for open curtain exhibitionism and kink. The Lord commandeth ye. Thank you, Mr. Scott, for recording what you just heard, which was the kind of shit I've said since the beginning of the show in 2001, plus the sound effects and all that was added. So the only things left out are the playlist that you heard just now and upcoming shows. So you just heard Rambo doing the war on self-esteem. Kids who mosh like assholes must make for lousy lovers. If our leaders are impotent, only the people can rise. And godless freedom fighters. Before Rambo, you heard Planet Gung doing psychological overture and floating anarchy from their live Floating Anarchy 1977 release. Before Planet Gong, you heard Mad River from the 60s doing their anthem of borderlines entitled Leave Me, Stay. And started off with Isaac Hayes as the chef in South Park doing chocolate salty balls. P.S. I love you. This is Reverend Bookburn's show. It's called The Reverend Is In Tonight. The theme is Martha Stewart's Etiquette Guide to Wiping Floors with Your Pastor's Ass. And we're going to get to that at some point tonight. We are off next Sunday night, the 24th, returning Sunday, August 31st, for a very special show. There's way too much shenanigans happening here. In 2 weeks, on August 31st, the 40th anniversary celebration show, marking all of the events in Chicago, 1968, during the Democratic Convention, an event organized primarily by the Yippies that was to be called the Festival of Life, a kind of a Woodstock vision a year in advance, of presenting the counterculture and rock culture before it became corporatized, and showing the world that, in contrast to the Convention of Death, what turned out to be a police riot, and then subsequently blaming the organizers for the infamous Chicago conspiracy trial, later called the Chicago 8, later the Chicago 7. We have a killer playlist and show content. It's going to be like the early shows in 2001, where people's ideas, the songs we found, the show content, it's going to slay. That's in 2 weeks, August 31st, the 40th anniversary of the Yippie Festival of Life in Chicago. And another purpose of that show is not just to look back 40 years ago at 1968, but also to entertain the activist troops who are protesting both major political corporate parties this year. They're out there, they're brave as fuck, and going to face who knows what, and it is our job here in independent media to not only spread information and spread the word, but also to provide quality entertainment for you and for them. So we're going to be entertaining the activist troops in 2 weeks and acknowledging Chicago. Other upcoming shows in September at some unspecified Sunday, the John McCain Penis Pity Party. And in October, one of the shows will be Bush's unemployment application or disabilities claim. And that'll be a lot of fun, since the Reverend's other life is as a mild-mannered social worker. Let's see, that's October, Bush's unemployment application or disabilities claim. In November, we will do, of course, the obligatory Erection Day show. And also in November, of course, like we wouldn't do this, the Happy Spanksgiving show. In December, also, of course, the Reverend's annual holiday Tree and Balls special for 2008. In January 2009, we will, of course, have the anniversary show. This will be number 8 since starting in January 2001. Around the time of the inauguration of the first go-around with Bush after the first stolen election, we will have our anniversary show, and also in January, speaking of inaugurations, we will begin, this is turning into a series, not even just one show, and something that, of course, should happen if there was even a pittance of justice left in the system, the trial of George W. Bush. And by the time that happens, you'll want all your friends to know. January, the trial of George W. Bush. Okay, we're going to jump into this in a little bit. We have two birthdays. The first is Chella Bella, and the second is Margaret Downey from the Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia. And Margaret's was yesterday, which was also Dead Elvis Day and the middle day of Woodstock. And John DeCraptis has made a threat. He doesn't even know Margaret Downey, but he was saying that since she was born on Dead Elvis Day, but probably soon earlier, at an earlier year, he was going to do his Elvis thing where he pretends to be dying on a toilet. And I don't know how he's going to do that up here, and I don't see him, so please tell him that it's a good idea not to do that. And I'm not telling him what to do, but yeah, please ask him not to do that. But allegedly, John DeCraptis is going to do his dying on the toilet Elvis tribute for Margaret Downey to help her celebrate her birthday. And he wants to do it on the air, and he'll probably make gross sounds, and we'll try to discourage him. And I think that's it for the birthdays. Great upcoming documentaries, in addition to the ones we've already talked about, from Patti Smith, from Larry Flint, from Bill Maher. But Bill Maher's is not a documentary, I don't think, the religiousness one. But of the phenomenal, pioneering, ahead of their time band from the 60s, Blue Cheer, the band that didn't do lame versions of summertime blues, the band that kicked ass and reunites every so often and is together now. And if you contact Gabriella from Blue Cheer's office, and if you can or don't want to do that, you can just contact us at the show. You can submit 1 or 2 minutes of yourself on video reflecting on Blue Cheer, what they meant to you, their music, if you saw them live ever, whatever you have to say about Blue Cheer. And that could be submitted to Gabrielle. And it's due for a release before the end of the year. And I am just spazzing that there's going to be a Blue Cheer DVD. So that is just one more great thing that is coming up. And, of course, the Reverend's own film ideas. And now there's two. We want to make Wrapped Smear, like we talked about before, from the words Rapture and Pap Smear. And there's been nonstop, ongoing, increasing interest in it. So not just people who want to be in it, but people who are like, well, yeah, let's do this. And they have different, like, relevant functions that would help make this possible. The financial part, which, of course, is absolutely vital if this thing is to actually become a film or a short video or anything, is in fact the funding issue, which is, of course, now completely a non-issue. But if there are any developments, and if this is on its way to seeing the light of day, that we will, of course, keep you informed every step of the way. But we're getting more serious about making the film Wrapped Smear, and another film that's even more twisted and sick and erotic and perverted. And I don't think this could possibly be done by the election, by Erection Day, but kind of hoping to do it. Another adult classic entitled Offshore Drilling. And we will keep you posted about all of these things here on The Reverend Is In. Write to me about any of this stuff, revbookburn@sjcdc.org. Check out the website, reverendbookburn.com. The YouTube channel, youtube.com/revbookburn, or myspace.com/reverendbookburn. All right. And we have We didn't know what to do about Hiroshima Day. We weren't on the air because it was August 6th. It was like a half a week after the last show, which was August 3rd, which was when God was on this station. God Speaks to Bush Live. And so we were like, what are we going to do about Hiroshima Day this year? So we decided to visit John McCain and see, like, if there were any, you know, psychotic thoughts or actions that just managed to seep out on a day like that. So we got him a little drunk, and we were trying to tell him he wouldn't take a bong hit. And so we were asking him, you know, so what about Hiroshima? You know, this is the anniversary, etc. And so he was still like in candidate mode, you know, just talking like it was nothing. He was only talking about the Russia Georgia thing, which was building up but didn't quite explode yet. And as if there was no other wars since Vietnam, which I thought was incredible. He was like, this is the first major conflict, and this is the biggest thing, and this is the only big thing except for September 11th. And truly talking out of his ass, but he wasn't really screwing up much. Although, when we asked if nuclear weapons, indeed all weapons, were overcompensation for impotence and sexual dysfunction, he actually was pretty forthright and saying, well, that may be true, but now there's all kinds of wonder drugs and things that help those of us in church and state get it up so that we can make all the scandals that you like to goof on your show and point out our moral hypocrisies. So I thought that was pretty interesting, but since he outed himself as an impotent person, I thought that will really give us a lot of material for the McCain Penis Pity Party in September, which was partially inspired in a discussion. A lot of people confuse him with Bob Dole. Dole was in Viagra ads and is known as a customer for that pharmaceutical company. And but people have asked us if McCain was in Viagra ads, and I think there are even rumors to that effect. And then, of course, questions as to whether or not he could function. And then, of course, he answered that by getting into a sex scandal. Yes, he's another moralizing crusader who happened to have an affair and cheat on his wife. So we figure, well, then he had to be able to do it at least once, even if it was chemically induced. So we got a lot of information thanks to celebrating Hiroshima Day with John McCain, but enough about that kind of shit. We have very special guests, Martha Stewart and her lawyer, some goofy guy in a suit, who's upset with us. So why don't you just say what you're going to say, and
thank you. I just wanted to say that I represent Ms. Stewart, and we did not know the theme title or the nature of this kind of a show. And yes, she was charged with a crime, and yes, she was convicted, and yes, she did do time, but we don't want to disparage her character by appearing on a show of this nature. Isn't that right, honey?
Well, don't say that to the Reverend. Yes, I was charged, and yes, I did do the time, but what I don't understand is that I was number 88,000 on the Wall Street and corporate crime list of insider trading, and I didn't see very many of the people on the list above me getting too many consequences, except for Bush's friends and Enron. So I thought there was something personal against me, but lately, from listening to the Reverend Azin, I've learned that there's been more people exposed from the pillars of church and state in their moral hypocrisy. In other words, they're sex scandals. And I thought that maybe this is an era of punishment. And if it is an era of punishment, then I thought it's probably going to be an era of punishment for the pastors. Now, I didn't think they should go to jail, so I called the Reverend because I know how kinky and perverted he is, and I thought maybe if we can come up with a punishment that keeps them out of jail and they can keep all of their wealth and power, then everybody will be happy. And since there has to be some kind of punishment and your household needs cleaning and there's all kinds of tasks and functions that remain needing to be done, why not combine them? And that's when the Reverend and I agreed that we should do a show on the proper etiquette to wiping floors with your pastor's ass. And not in a mean way, not in a rough way, not in a way that hurts them, but in a way with style and grace, and equally important, in a manner that is effective and gets your floor clean.
Well, okay, thank you. I do appreciate you deciding to come on the show, even though your lawyer had expressed concern about smearing your character post-conviction by being on a show of this nature. So that's very cool. So you're going to combine the idea of punishing all of the Christian skanks who, I mean, nobody would give a shit what they do. Nobody would care less what their personal lives entailed, except that these are the assholes that make laws regarding sexual freedom or the removal thereof. These are the assholes that pass laws regarding censorship, regarding the attack on sexual rights for any adults, the sexual rights of gay people, the access to birth control and abortion. The whole list is endless, and they talk family values and only funding programs for the poor that peddle and practically coerce marriage. And since these moralizing hypocrites have been exposed and you have agreed to punish them, I'm thinking that even though you're a specialist in getting these kinds of household tasks done, isn't there a kind of a kinky side to you for helping to think of these ideas? And if you are as kinky as I think you are, Martha, how did that happen? Like, was it something you picked up in prison, or is it a part of you that was just never made public?
Well, I always like to fuse things together. Like, before this idea of punishing the pastors and getting household tasks clean, I used to look for kinky objects, but I didn't want to go to sex novelty stores or fetish stores or anything like that, especially if there was paparazzi around. So I used to go toy shopping at Staples. I used to love those little black paper clamps because they just put the right amount of pressure around the nipples or the genitalia. And okay, I guess I can tell you, since you are the Reverend, that I have experimented with some people and my former producer, but it started at Staples when I tried to figure out how many objects from this store and a few other stores, the dollar store, the hardware store, what could be turned into a kinky pleasure toy. And get household or garage or yard tasks done.
Okay, thank you, Martha. I had a feeling that you were kinky, and I don't care. I don't judge you. I don't judge any person who is into other adults who are consensual and not in a coma. So that's cool. All right, so we're going to go back to the specifics when we come back from the second set of music. I do appreciate you coming on the show. I'm glad you don't feel that it's making your post-conviction character look bad. And looking forward to hearing specifically how the appropriate way to wipe your floor with your pastor's ass is to be done. Let us get back to the music. This is an old hemp-themed classic by Michael Hurley entitled The National Weed Growers Association.
Oh, we plant, we plant, we plant the seed, and then we grow, grow, grow the weed, and we pull the weed, and we sell the green. We trade some off for kerosene, that's cold juice, boy. When you grow the weed, you gotta hide it away. Authorities pulling my weed and stepping on my peas. So we plant the seed early in the spring. We fertilize with anything, and we haul the water if the rain don't fall. We pray the Lord will a call on us. It's against the law. We know, we know. You ain't shitting. Oh, ho, ho. But in nature's law, we know, we know. It is written, grow, grow, grow. It's the poor man's high. In the streets of D.C., it's a rich fool's buy. Now I know it's good herb for you and I. You know I wrote this song while I was high on the weed. If you puff the weed, you're nothing but a slave. Snake charmer school and the charm school for snakes. A bunch of torpid vipers was laying round shit
out there in pornograph land. The old clock on the wall is telling us it's time to close again. So right now it's my very great pleasure to do for you a sacred tune from the Anal Roberts Show for your listening pleasure.
Come on to Jesus!
The
the good Lord wants you all to know. It's no sin to fall. We're friends and neighbors now. Don't be shy when the sex urge comes to call. Just jump and suck, we'll lick and fuck. Have yourselves a screw on the big guy. That's just what the good Lord meant you to do. So remember, the good book says love and let love. Well, cast no stones at sin. We'll take that lady right into your bed. And when you finally get it in, you've got to come for Peter, come for Paul, come for Mary too. And if you come to Weist, Jesus Christ will bless you. Good folks here with us tonight. Lord have mercy, I don't mean to sermonize, and I'm not gonna sell you prayer rugs, no. I wanna talk to the ladies. Ladies, when it's getting late and that young fella you're with is a staring with a sexually satanic look in his eye, he's a breathing hard, and you just know it in your heart that he's a trying to score. Well, baby, don't you be getting a headache, and don't be saying it's that time of the month, no. Because love is a rare and splendid thing that comes once, so honey, open your door. Remember, the good book says you gotta love and let love. Well, cast no stones at sin. And you take that young fella right into your bed. When he finally gets it in, you've got to come for Peter, come for Paul, and come for Mama Mary too. If you come twice, Jesus Christ will bless you. Oh, he will. I'm saying, if you come twice, Jesus Christ gonna wanna know why there's so much sin and perversion on the streets of San Francisco. Why the communism and lesbianism and pedestrianism and homosexuality and rock and roll music going hand in hand down a twisted path of debauchery? Why did Chris Christopherberg change his name? You know the big picker don't want you to come a quarter time. No, and he don't want you to come a half time. No, and he don't even want you to come one time. Because just as sure as love is a four-legged word, if you come twice, Jesus Christ will bless you.
Countryside. But George, at you.
Here they go.
ethereal, mysterious, in amorous array. Democracy is coming to the USA.
This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it is such a joy to be here with Martha Stewart and Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist and Martha Stewart's lawyer. And I just want to say that it's so good to see Martha coming out unscathed from her ordeal. And even though she did do what they said she did, she really was number 88,000 on the list, and so many of Bush's corporate allies outside of Enron had completely escaped prosecution and punishment, even though they were a million or a billion times more criminal than virtually all of the common street criminals. But if you are going through a hard time and trials and tribulations, or a rough job, or a rough home life, or a rough family life where you got ripped off or burned, or any other challenge in life, maybe you need to hear this next song by the Avengers entitled "I Believe in Me." This is Halliburton Ernie introducing the Avengers.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Bye.
heard the Avengers doing I Believe in Me and Open Your Eyes. Before that, Leonard Cohen did Democracy, which is from his The Future CD, with a lot of his songs that were featured in the Natural Born Killers film. Before Leonard Cohen, you heard Elvis Hitler doing Green Haze Parts 1 and 2, that we thought would be a good way to end the weekend of Dead Hitler Weekend. Dead Elvis Weekend. Before that, Chinga Chavin did Come Unto Jesus, a sacred tune, and started off with Michael Hurley doing National Weed Growers Association. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is Martha Stewart's Etiquette Guide for Wiping Floors with Your Pastor's Ass. And we have spoken with Martha and her attorney in the first part of the show, and Martha was reviewing whether or not it was disparaging for her post-conviction character to appear on a show of this nature, as pointed out by Mr. Attorney here, and how she got into kink, and how she got into merging the ideas of kinky kinds of punishment for morally hypocritical public officials and pastors, and combining that with getting household tasks and cleaning functions completed. And I think that's where we left off. So I want to thank you again, because I think out of all of the media that you have ever gotten, books, television, all kinds of print press, the corporate media being all over you for decades, I appreciate that despite our differences, you would agree to come on this show and do a show this that's this provocative, considering the rest of your career. And thank you. And okay, when we left off, you were talking about going to unconventional places, like instead of going to sexual novelty stores or fetish shops, that you were toy shopping at Staples, and that you enjoyed the use of those little black paper clamps, and that now you have been in a position where you could collaborate with the Reverend to think of kinky punishments as an alternative to prison for the morally crusading family values pastors who get caught in their own sex scandals and cheats and affairs and all that kind of shit that it seems most of them do. And
yes, that's right, Reverend Bookburn. I want to say that there is a way to combine the punishment and kinky behaviors, and this keeps them out of prison so they can keep their wealth and their empires going. And by the way, congratulations to you, Reverend, for your next erotic masterpiece, Offshore Drilling, which they'll probably even watch in the White House and Halliburton and Iraqi headquarters.
Well, thank you, Martha.
Okay, so anyway, I want to get down to specifics. So we discussed the preliminaries for the task of wiping floors with your pastor's ass. And now I want to get into specific techniques. Now, when you're doing this specific act, of course, for the sake of your back, you want to bend your knees, grab the ankles of the pastor, and pull him along the floor. And when you do this, you make nice, smooth, straight, horizontal lines next to the previous horizontal line that you did. So it's sort of like mowing your lawn. And you do the next line over, like neat little vertical rows. And you do this until row after row covers the entire footage of your floor, and it'll probably be in your kitchen. But anyway, I recommend horizontal moves, and I want to talk to you about the specific products that you use when you wipe the floor with your pastor's ass. First, I want to say that since this idea might actually be used by the ultimate punishers and torturers and professionals, in other words, the White House and the Pentagon and Halliburton and the oil companies and other people who don't mind blood and torture and war and sacrifice of others for their mega profits, I want to recommend that whoever does try this idea, please do not use Iraqi oil for the floor, because any product that you use is going to come in contact with the rectum when you wipe the floor with your pastor's ass. So again, please do not use Iraqi oil, or any oil for that matter, no matter where it's from. And since there are health concerns with the fact that any cleaning product is going to, in fact, come in contact with the rectum, I ask that you use ecologically friendly and vegan products that will not harm the skin or the rectal opening. There are plenty of eco-friendly cleaning products. There are full lines of vegan products that will render the rectum unharmed when you wipe the floor with your pastor's ass. However, I don't think it's wise to use any kind of flavor-oriented adult pleasure products, because you might do that with thoughts of rimming later. But let me remind you that there is another health concern there too, because you don't want to eat anything that's been on the floor. And you heard that from me most recently. You probably heard it from a parental figure early in life, but you're hearing it from me now. One of those little life basics that you need reminding of. But do not use flavored oils or products of any kind with the thought that you're going to rim his ass later, because you don't want to eat anything that's been on the floor. Okay, I need to use the potty, and all of this talk is getting me excited and hot, so I need to excuse myself.
Alright, that's cool. Alright, Martha Stewart with more tips on the appropriate etiquette to wiping floors with your pastor's ass. And, so while she's, taking care of business, let's see if there's anything else to cover. As you know, we never endorse candidates and never will. However, we, and especially neither of the two-headed corporate parties that act like opposition to each other, but we're going to comment on an issue that is not really covered as much this election, and that is the issue of birth control and abortion rights. And not just because we're saying happy birthday to Bill Baird and Joni Baird's daughter, Chella Bella, birthday today, happy birthday, but also because it's not talked about very much for this election season. And yes, everybody knows that McCain is radically anti-abortion and anti pretty much all rights of anybody's. So, but it goes much worse than that. And this is the position of the two major corporate parties so far as of the show on August 17th, 2008. For the Republicans, it's not enough to go after abortion rights and to redefine abortion. They want to go after contraception too. Yes, a fight that was won by Bill Barrett in 1972, possibly necessary to fight all over again. And so what they do is they sneak in little bits in other pieces of legislation so that contraception is defined as abortion, as a form of abortion. And then when they make restrictive laws and when they further fuck with abortion rights, or when they tell a licensed doctor that he has to tell every patient information, and that's using the word very loosely, from state-scripted propaganda bullshit from the American Christian Taliban, and passing that off as credible medical information, well, that means these people are also defining what birth control is, and of course going after it, since they can't do that entirely, since even Sleepwalking America won't put up with that much shit. Or at least they believe that, they project that to be the case. They're going after it a little piece at a time. The Democrats are a little better than that. Rather than an all-out war, they're just willing to sell out abortion rights. Not, of course, entirely, but piecemeal. And so their idea is that they're going to be pro-choice, but want to make abortion rare, means that they could find themselves supporting restrictive laws, so that laws that fuck with women who are underage and in abusive homes, probably beat up by their Christian holy roller parents, people who are victims of rape or incest, women who need a later term abortion, whose health or even life could be at risk. These are the people who will actually pay the price, even very serious prices, for this kind of political football playing. And so their talk about making it rare is not even close to being a true and sincere pro-choice position. And you're not going to hear that from these retarded groups like the National Organization for Women or NAF, the National Abortion Federation. And the clinics themselves are clueless, and many of them, including ones we've pointed out, are strictly and exclusively concerned only with profit and not the rights or the well-being of anybody who goes in there and makes them money. No, you're going to hear it here, and you're going to hear it from people like ProChoiceLeg.org that aren't into, like, a gazillion-dollar salary and pools and airfare and perks and mega conferences and that, all that kind of shit. Besides, when you talk about making abortion rare, it sounds like cooking, which I guess is a question for Martha Stewart. If I was going to have a fetus, I wouldn't want it rare. I would want it well done. But that's personal taste and preference. But the Democrats are calling for rare. And in the same way that the bozo groups like the Fund for the Feminist Majority and NARAL and Planned Parenthood and NOW and NAF, National Abortion Federation, possibly the biggest joke of the lot. You're not going to hear that because they are like something that we covered in the last blog updates at ReverendBookburn.com. The top heavy greens. These organizations are arguably worse. And this is a relevant tangent. They don't just make the mega bucks. This is the big green organizations, the big environmental groups, like leaders making six-figure salaries and, you know, now kind of bullshit. But they don't just rake in the big bucks. They actually redirect people away from the most urgent issues. So yes, an issue or a rallying call will go if it can be tailored or deemed suitable to fit their agenda. If you want to find one of the most informative and most grassroots of the environmental groups, the group founded by Lois Gibbs, who was a normal apolitical mother of kids that had to go to school and play in a playground that had all kinds of lethal and dangerous toxic chemicals buried underneath it, the famous Love Canal case. And we linked that, I believe, in the previous posting at ReverendBookburn.com. And then the group immediately under it about the new kinds of poisonous plastics is actually an article from her organization in Virginia. And it isn't simply a job and a desk and a massive budget in their minds. It is stuff they live and breathe. And we had the pleasure of meeting them in the past. You want to find a real advocacy organization for in any issue or cause, not people who are into making it a vehicle for their power trips or their financial ambitions or any other manifestation of their own personal issues. Okay, we covered a lot of other shit. Martha Stewart is still not back yet, so we're going to play another set of music. Let's give you a song from the Benefit compilation from DOA's record label, Sudden Death Records, suddendeath.com. This is a green benefit called Green Revolution, A Hard Planet. I'm thinking of that hard-on quote. A good planet is hard to find. This track is by Vice Squad. From day to day, okay. Take
locking up people in misery.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message. Yes, it's hard to keep it up, and it's hard to function when you find yourself impotent and overcompensating with Hiroshima kind of nuclear weapons or some of our new technologies we've been using in this war. And I know my buddy John McCain has problems with impotence. That's why I'm glad you're having the McCain Penis Pity Party show in September. But I want to ask all of you to support John and get behind him and support this war. And I want to ask Miss Martha right here and now if she'll meet with him and spank and punish him as a means of getting it up. Because his affair had a dickens of a time getting him up, I can assure you. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
I got a headache from the boys, and it's hurting. The knife in my back's a choice, and it's burning. I got a headache.
Okay, before we play the next song, it's a lot of Philadelphia references. Oh, we're going so over time. There's some other tracks, and I don't feel like skipping any of them for Martha Stewart's playlist. This is live at the Trocadero in Philadelphia, and this is the late, great, the Dead Milkmen. And before they did their live version of Bitchin' Camaro, they made a lot of Philadelphia references and Pennsylvania references. The reference to the late, even at the time, the late ex-mayor of Philadelphia, Frank Rizzo, was a guy who was kind of like Mayor Daley in Chicago in the 60s, or some of the other kind of bigger city mayor assholes in the nation in the last handful of decades. And so this was a little bit after Rizzo had died, and when a guy who was a Pennsylvania legislator who was a really dumb fuck, he was like a combination of like Bush, McCain, Dan Quayle, and Forrest Gump. And not only was he staggeringly stupid, but he was passing laws, and he was saying things like women who get raped can't get pregnant because of a special hormone. And this guy was not put in a rubber room in a straitjacket and force-fed medication. He was given great positions of power and is the actual author of the Pennsylvania Abortion Control Act to restrict the rights of women in Pennsylvania since 1989. His name was Stephen Friend, and he's the reference, the other reference, besides Frank Rizzo, as the Dead Milkmen prepare to launch into their song.
Isn't it great to see all these girls run up and kiss a 30-year-old fat balding man? Anymore. But I didn't have to search far, because now I like to make fun of Stephen Friend. Or as we like to call him, Mr. Illiterate Product of an Incestuous Relationship. You know, one thing my dad taught me was, it ain't much of a man who picks a fight with pregnant women. And that's basically what they're doing with the women trying to get into abortion clinics. Oh, big man, you blocked a pregnant woman! Woo! This is my idea. I will fight Stephen Friend. The loser leaves the state of Pennsylvania. I think I can take the little weasel, too. Let some other state worry about him. Ship him on out of here. When he flies on the plane away, they're gonna have to keep him down in the cargo with all the other pets. I wonder his little doggy carrier. So remember, Stephen Friend and me, it's gonna be better than this Holyfield flight coming up. Stephen Friend and me duking it out. On pay-per-view! I'm not even gonna let him just hit the canvas. I'm gonna keep him up for a while and duke him around a little bit.
I'd like to go see that.
You would? You should come see it. I'm thinking about holding it at the shore.
Oh, really? At the shore? But how would I get down there?
You can get a car. No, I don't
Oh, what kind of car should I get?
You should probably get one of them there bitching Camaro.
Don't answer your mom. Now, now, now. Show your hand.
everybody that we got all our things on sale in the back. Thanks a lot. See you later.
Thanks.
To tell you that I'm a very moral, ethical, opinionated, conservative Republican woman of the highest morals and integrity. I stand for America and patriotism, and I lie down and spread for the same damn reasons. I do not suffer gladly any liberal bullshit. Why, I hate liberal Democrats. I loathe everything about them. In fact, strange as it is, I hate them so much that at times I find them irresistibly sexy. Sometimes watching them on TV, whining and pandering to all the special interest groups like the poor, the minorities, the gays, the idiots, and the middle class makes me so mad that I become turned on. And the sweet juices of my rage flows like a river from my loins. I'm here to tell all you chaste and pure thinking conservative men and women to throw yourselves naked on the altar of George W. Bush and thank the Lord that he put this intellectual genius in office after the long suffering years under Bill Clinton's penis. Oh, this is Dr. Laura Hoare saying good day.
Oh, shit, man! But I'll warn you when you do one of those, man!
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. Sunday, August 17th, 2008, at RadioVolta.org, ReverendBookburn.com, and Radio for All. Radio numeral 4 all.net. We have no runner-ups. We just have one very special recipient. Actually, a group instead of an individual. Tonight, Asshole of the Week. For the first time, and we only like to give it to everybody just once. Tonight, Asshole of the Week, finally, are the framers and kangaroo court implementers and cheerleading corrupt, skanky corporate media who brought the false case and false conviction of the West Memphis Three. There is now an article that is new at the West Memphis 3 website, WM3, the numeral 3, WM3.org. And it looks like it's going into its final stage of appeals and kind of exhausting the legal stage. So if you ever supported them, now is the time to reactivate. If you heard of them because of the Hollywood people or the bands, Henry Rollins, Benefit, entire tour and compilation CD, or grassroots organizations of non-famous people, please go to WM3.org as soon as possible and support these. The case is total bullshit. The conviction is total bullshit. It was because of what those kids were and the kinds of music they were into. The framers and the court system of Arkansas and the local corporate media, you are assholes of the week. And we lost our fart sounds, you know, before the end of Asshole of the Week. You guys, if you're still functioning, if your brains are still working, and if not, I understand why, and I am sympathetic. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Laura Whore. Pennywise did My Life. Comeback Kid did Step Down. The Subsonics did I Made You a Clown from the Sleaze Fest compilation. Two Nights of Bands, B-Movies, Barbecue and Beer. Before the Subsonics, you heard the Dead Milkmen doing Bitchin' Camaro live from the Chaos Rules CD. The Cramps did Bikini Girls with Machine Guns from the Stay Sick CD. Biff Naked did Bar Scum. Bruce Coburn did Call It Democracy. And started off with Vice Squad doing We Came, We Saw. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been Martha Stewart's Etiquette Guide for Wiping Floors with Your Pastor's Ass. A big thank you to our guest, Martha Stewart, and her attorney for joining in. And hope they feel better about her post-conviction character being besmudged by appearing on a show of this nature. Write to me, Rev Bookburn, one word, no period, RevBookburn@sjcdc.org. Updates, details, goodies, links, and the playlists always at reverendbookburn.com. YouTube channel, youtube.com/revbookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/reverendbookburn. And this show will be uploaded and available 24/7 for free at Radio 4 All, Radio Numeral 4 All.net in about a week, maybe less. And you can click on a link at reverendbookburn.com that says many Reverend Bookburn shows, which is every show from some point in 2006 to the very last show that has occurred, if you want to hear older shows. And plus there's other archives and stuff around. And the next show is not next Sunday, but in 2 weeks, August 31st, we will be celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Yippie Festival of Life in Chicago from 1968. That will be a show to remember. August 31st, 40th anniversary of the Yippie Festival of Life in Chicago. And after that, I'm not sure when the date is, but we'll be doing the McCain Penis Pity Party and Bush's unemployment application and disabilities claim. Erection Day in November, Happy Spanksgiving, also in November, all kinds of other shit. And possible movies like Rat Smear and Offshore Drilling. We're going to play one closing tune and then get out of here. We are way over time, but that's okay. We still have to play a closing tune by a band of former members of Os Rotten, now called Behind Enemy Lines. This is the title song from their CD, The Global Cannibal. Good night.
I guarantee you, no more music by the suckers. No more music by the suckers. No more music by the suckers.
Yeah, that's right, Chuck, man. That's what you gotta do. You got to tell them just like that. You know what I'm saying? Cause yo, man, let me tell you a little something, man. All these brothers around here feeling for that crack-a-lack-a-lack. You dig what I'm saying? Yo, man, all they wanna do is get what you got. But when you ain't got nothing, then they wanna cut you off. So what you gotta do? You gotta play them long distance. You know what I'm saying? I mean long distance. They think we take it short. Sure, this is Cole Medina, man.
Back one more time. Here to put the message in a rough rhyme. It's important that you know in the time, cause I'm seeing the program. Know what I'm knowing, until we get together we will never be up for sure. So I wreck like I'm possessed by Malcolm X. See the feds wanna stare, we too complex. I always speak the truth, coming from me to you. We moving as a unit, so you know we refuse to lose. I got my eyes on the lines from Washington. I'm a survivor, I know how the West was won. See a show and tell, the way the COINTEL undermine the real hip-hop so the cops can trail. But no bad boys move in silence, save us all from the pain of a life of violence. They tapping my phone, full grown and known, and still prone to refute the lies. Won't stop until we rise. Rise up,
come on.
Come on. Rise. Rise up,
come on.
One more time.
Come on.
Rise. Rise up,
come on.
Come on. Rise. Rise up, soldier to the bone for change. Demonstrate and separate the fact for strange. Blame companies killing our children with the villains of the record. Never think for a second that's the way we live. Wanna squeeze on the fleas at MTV. We quiz knots for the cops and BET. Seize the time, always rhyming, combining the antidote for dope in a scope and fake gangster quotes. Cause I can recollect times with record set. Collect a debt, brother, you mind if you sell us a jet? Rest the program, defeat the beastie. Cause on the street they do us, we influenced by what we see. And yes, it weighs a ton. I say it once again. That's why the enemy is down with Paris and Cam. It's all fan, we collide with lies. Better decide on what side you ride. Won't stop until we rise. Rise up,
come on.
Come on. Rise. Rise up,
come on.
Lord, Lord.
Come on.
Rise. Rise up,
come on.
Come on. Rise. Rise up.
Y'all don't know, y'all don't know, y'all don't know, y'all don't know, y'all don't know.
I know the power of fame, ain't never playing no games. Never cooning is proven that we're ready for change. Never simping, but they pimping my people for the dollar. So I holler back and keep us from evil till them devils are calling. Like I said, it's on, I say it once again. Better know the plan to keep us ignorant. Brother to brother, ain't no other cause mother. Or erase my case, we marry words with
face.
Just another wicked rhyme that I'm rapping on. S1's got my back if the clapping come. Pass on the work, making sure the words are known. Keep them nervous, make them understand we're serving foes. Keep it going strong, nevertheless. Know the enemy and never back down. You could take it to press. Less the mic like the art. Though I told you before, we for the prize. Emphasize the fight. Now come on and rise. Rise up.